It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I see you again.
We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll tell you.
When I see you again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pens and Stuff podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Abby.
And we're starting off on a somber note because the death of the Penguins as we know it has officially started.
It is very true.
The trade deadline came and went, and along with that went Jake Guentzel.
To none other than the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah. Pens legend Magnus Hallberg back to the Panthers. Oh, wait, no, he was on Detroit. Sorry. To the Panthers. Mm-hmm. And Chad, fan favorite.
To the Rangers.
Fan of the show. To the Rangers. Actually, I don't know if he's a fan of the show, but I met his dad or father-in-law in St. Louis, and he was a cool dude. So, But yeah, anyway, it's a depressing day for Pens fans and many fans in the NHL because the trades were wild, and we're going to talk about some of those. But
yeah.
How do you feel right now, Amy?
I'm sad. As a fan of a hockey team, you always know that your team's not always going to be good. And I understand that. But it's really sad when it actually happens and you're just like, dang, Guentzel's leaving. That means you're probably... I don't know. Maybe Dubas is going to retool. I don't know. But it means you're probably not going to be good for a while now.
Yeah.
But maybe next year will be different. Maybe Jake will come back, or maybe we'll get someone else. And they'll try and run it back with a younger squad, which is fine. I would be really okay with that because I want to win another cup with the big three. So I wouldn't be mad. But also, right now, my feelings are just big sad. I'm very sad.
Yeah.
And I watched the Penguins tribute video on the socials yesterday, and that did not help.
Yeah, I haven't watched the video yet because I don't want to believe it's happened. But I was talking to Claire on the way back. I was like, as long as I've been a fan since 2015, the Penguins have been that team that are like,
we should be
everybody except the choice two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Or we should be everyone because we're that good. Because with Kessel, Hornquist, all that stuff, and it's like, I mean, you're gonna be good. And then it's just taken because we haven't been good since we lost to the Islanders in round one in 2019.
Yeah,
we have not been viable. Well, we've been viable. We haven't been good. Like we've made the playoffs.
No, we've had these delusions that like, oh, we should beat this team. But it's like, should we?
No.
Probably not, to be honest with you.
It's been a long time coming, and we've been poorly coached, poorly ran from an organizational standpoint, like general manager and whatnot, for a while. And the trade that killed us, like we all thought Jim Rutherford was a terrible GM, and he may have been like at the end there.
But
he never traded away Mike Matheson for Jeff Petrie. Like he never traded away. I don't know. Like
that's true. Jim
Ron
Rutherford.
Hextall.
Jim Rutherford was 1,000 times better than Ron Hextall.
Yeah.
But I don't know what ownership was thinking in hiring a former Flyer. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
That has anything to do with it. I'm sure Ron Hextall is a very professional guy, but I don't know. He just did not do good things for the Penguins. It was a rough time. And it is a rough time. However, like I've said before, I'll say it again and I'll keep saying it till he's gone. I trust Kyle Dubas.
Me too.
I really do.
There's like no one else I'd rather go through a rebuild with or retool with than Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. And I don't necessarily love all the things he did, like, in Toronto as far as, like, the players he chose to retain. However, mm-hmm. he would have probably gotten death threats if he hadn't, because Toronto's yeah. fan base is that way. So, yeah. like, the way that he was able to structure all those contracts to keep all those guys is super impressive. So,
yeah,
I'm but just interested to see what he's going to do in Pittsburgh.
I will be honest. One thing I'm not too happy about is because we re-signed Brian Rust to a, was it 5x5 or something like that? To a deal the off season. And you could have arguably, his contract wasn't up this year, right? It was up at the end of this year or last year, right? Rust, was he going to be a free agent last year?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm,
if that's the case, then I have no problem with it. But, oh, wait, he's on LTIR. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. I was just going to say you could have taken that money and given Jake what he wanted.
Yeah.
Because I would have rather yeah. had Jake and then traded away Brian Rust. But Brian Rust was going to walk.
Right.
At the end of this year. So it's,
and he had a really good season last year. So he earned the contract that he got as yeah. well. So,
but, and talking about Dubas, you look at these guys. And now with Ruedel gone, it's going to force Sullivan to play Ludvig, which I'm fine with because I love John Ludvig.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at this team and you compare it to what we were last year or at the beginning of this year, we've gotten so much younger.
Like, have
you look
really?
At this, you look at this roster and it's age-wise, Malkin at 37, Crosby at 36, Jeff Carter 39. Sorry, I missed Jeff Carter. And then Riley Smith at 32, Ricardo Raquel at 30. These are just the forwards. And then you have Noel Charlie at 32.
Raquel is 30, you said?
Yeah. And then you have Drew O'Connor, 25, Benstrom, 24, Puljujarvi, 25, Houston, 24, Bunting, 28. And then Michael, on the defensive wise, we okay. have Ryan Graves is 28, Pedersen's 27, P.O. Joseph, 24, Ludvig, 23, and then 36 and 33, Letang Carlson. So we've gotten younger. And yeah. Jansen Harkins, who's on IR right now, is 26, and Russ is 38. So it's like we were a lot older at the beginning of the year.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I talked about Ellers.
Well, yeah, that is true. Like, I feel will like we say,
just seem younger now.
Yeah, I will say, we got a lot back for Jake being damaged goods, as Dad said in the group chat.
He was not happy with the return, but I think we got a pretty good.
Dad
return.
Wasn't happy. I think we got quite a bit.
No, he wasn't.
And I mean. I didn't like that we sent over Ty Smith because I really like Ty Smith. But if you're not going to play him, you might as well get rid of him. So get something back for him. But I think the addition of Michael Bunting, unfortunately, because I didn't like him in Toronto, didn't like him in Carolina. I think the addition of Bunting is actually exactly what this team needed because he's not necessarily younger, but he's a lot different of a player than Jake. He's a lot more physical, a lot more feisty, and he's a lot more durable, which is exactly what our team needs. And if yeah. we're going to try and actually make a push for one last cup with the three next season, then that kind of player is what you're going to need to surround Sid and Gino and Tanger with.
Yeah.
One thing I would have liked to see from the Pens at the deadline was maybe to trade Erik Karlsson. Because even he's still riding the wake from last year. Everyone's like, this guy could do really good things. And like, he's not done it in Pittsburgh, and I don't think it's entirely his fault.
It's not his fault. It's because we have so many high-end players.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And, I mean, he could be able to perform better. He hasn't been performing up to expectations, but we haven't necessarily set him up for that success either. So there's a little bit of leeway there. But that is something I would have liked because I don't know – like, how many more years does he have on his contract? I don't know. But if you're going to spend that money on a player, you could get yourself more of like a lockdown grit grinder defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in free agency, maybe through a trade or something. But I feel like we're paying a lot to have two elite offensive defensemen that aren't performing up to standard. But maybe Dubas is hoping that that'll turn around next year.
Yeah, and it could be a down year.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. Players have that.
What team at the deadline has the cap room to bring in a $10 million player? Like, genuinely, like, to do that, you're going to have to send over a couple pieces that you need for that run. They're not going to want to do that, you know?
How much longer is Carlson getting paid, though?
2 years.
Still? Okay, because I was going to say maybe Pittsburgh would have retained a bit, but...
Oh, yeah, excuse me. 4 years.
Oh, yeah, this year and then
3 others. Yeah, he's 12% of our cap. Which is wild. But, yeah. So, yeah, we've gotten younger. And again, this team's not completely out of it. Again. And you may be like,
no.
Like you're just a fan. And I am.
We are.
I am. I'll admit that. But
guilty.
But I mean, looking at it, we're pretty much done. But this team could turn around.
Well,
we are bottom 10 of the league.
It's not even
24th out of 32. We're bottom 8, actually. So we have a good chance at the lottery pick.
So take
it. Wouldn't that be wild?
That would be crazy. Imagine the Penguins get Macklin Celebrini. Oh, dude.
People would be like, this is rigged. Chicago and Pittsburgh back to back. Hey, you know, it may be rigged, but as a fan of one of the cornerstone franchises of the NHL, we take it.
That would be insane. Imagine.
Okay.
Dude, and then Celebrini and Crosby playing for 1 year before. Oh, my. Dude, just imagine.
It would literally be Crosby and Lemieux playing with each other.
That's insane. That's
which happened, insane. By the way.
It did happen.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say something, though, and I can't remember what it was now. Oh, no. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to make a playoff push, but
no.
I think whatever happens in this last month of hockey is going to be very telling for, like, even just going into the offseason, like, morale. And, like, if we go into if we end the season poorly, I think that's going to really reflect the way that next season is going to go.
Yeah.
But I think Crosby's ticked off. And so I think he's going to come out and he's been playing beast mode all year. I think he's going to come out and he's going to tear it up because he's mad and he wants to prove something. Like, this team is not too old to win things and he's just going to be mad. Like, obviously we're not going to win anything this year, but I think that's going to make a big difference, even locker room wise, like just morale for the team going into the off season and all of that. Anyway, that's just
one other thing. You talked about something you wanted to see happen at the end of the year or at the deadline. And one thing I wanted to see was some of our older guys moved, like a Carter, like a, who else do we have on the team? Like maybe an Eller. I do like Eller, but like a Riley Smith, a Jeff Carter. But you look at it and Arizona only got a sixth back for Zucker. And Anthony Beauvillier went for a fourth, I think, to the Predators. Yeah,
people are just throwing people around.
Yeah. Jack Roslovich only got a fourth with 50% retained. And then that was a conditional fourth. Anthony Mantha only got a second and a fourth. So it's like these depth forward pieces.
Yeah. And the Senators only got a conditional fourth and a third for Vlad.
This year was a buyer's market. Like the buyers got away with Highway Robert, which is why we didn't get a great return for Jake. It wasn't
That's insane. We got a really good return for Jake compared to what other people are getting.
Compared to what other people got, but compared to what we could have gotten for Jake.
Yeah, but Jake was also injured.
Injured, yeah. But so I heard it said, I think it was, again, don't kill me, Emily Kaplan maybe. But she was talking about how the Penguins may hold on to these older pieces. It wasn't her, but I can't remember who it was. But the Penguins are going to hold on to these older pieces and then hope to trade them in the summer. And maybe they'll get a better return for them because they're all under contract. Riley Smith is under contract for a couple more years.
Carter,
I believe, is still under contract for a couple more years.
Yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
Oh, no, he's up at the end of the year. But like a Riley Smith and a Rick Carter-Kell who have
also
term
Carter,
to their contract.
Jeff Carter's not worth a whole lot.
Up at the end of the year. No,
but
he's not.
I think he might retire at the end of the year. If he's 39, he's done his time.
I wouldn't
re-sign unless like
to see him go.
A year contract. Because he didn't play bad this year. He knew his role.
No.
He played well. Like,
see,
for his age.
You could sign him to a veteran minimum contract, and I'd be happy with that.
Right. Either we could sign him, or maybe he goes back to LA and signs. I think we would love that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Maybe they were trying to shop him and he didn't want to move. Because I feel like you do him a solid, be like, thanks for your years here. We appreciate everything you did. We wish we could have gotten you a cup.
Especially
but
with
we're gonna trade you to they could have traded him in the package to Jake with Jake. Send him to Carolina.
Give him a chance for another cup.
Yeah, give him a chance for another cup. Or
to
the Rangers with Ruedel. You know?
But like you said, I think Carter probably just didn't want to move. Because he is 39. He's got a family. So
he does have a family. Yeah.
If you can do that over the summer, I feel like that's a lot more ideal.
Yeah. Don't have to switch schools halfway through the season.
Well, and also just you're not having to live in a hotel and then go play hockey. You know what I mean? Which is what a lot of guys who are traded at the deadline do.
Yeah.
I think they probably just considering the market too, they would get a fifth for him, you know? So you might as well hang on to him and just, you know, give that to him for what he's done for us, which despite what Penguins fans may say, Carter has been really good for us.
Yes,
minus last year. He's been very, very...
And last year got blown out of proportion by us and a lot of other people. He was bad, but he wasn't as bad as the extent that people think he was. He had a major drop-off from that the year before to last year, and everyone murdered him for it.
Well, because he played really well the year before, and we were expecting that, and then he just didn't. But he was 38. And also, the Penguins had so many other problems besides
issues
depth.
At their ears yesterday.
And so it was just we had to find someone to blame, and Jeff Carter took the brunt, which...
Yeah, he was...
My man's got big shoulders. He could handle it, but...
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, go over to pensandstuffpod.com. Cop some Jeffrey freaking Carter merch. We have a hoodie and a shirt. Shout out Jeffrey freaking Carter.
Love
the man's. We also have some other stuff over there, so... The website is live now today, and you should go check it out.
Fun.
Yeah, use code THPN to get 10% off your first order.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Okay, should we maybe just talk about last week's picks and how...
Yeah.
Or
we will
last,
talk about
last week's games and how our...
Last week's games,
our guest host last
our
week...
Our good buddy Austin.
Literally got the wins and losses flipped because he said the only game we were going to lose was the Columbus game, and that was the only game that we won.
Yeah, so the Penguins had a brutal week leading up to the deadline. They lost Saturday 4-3 in a brutal fashion where they had a 3-1 lead and gave it up. Oh, that was great.
Shocker.
We love to see it. No, we don't love to see it. Ryan Graves and Letang both had games to forget in that game. And then the day after, they lost 6-1 to the Oilers. It's the Oilers. What do you expect? I expect better, but that's because I'm a delusional Pens fan. On Tuesday, we did beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-3. We did our best choke, our best
job
attempt to choke it away. Yeah, but Puljujarvi did get his first goal as a Penguin, which we love to see it.
That is amazing.
And then Thursday, the Capitals playing with half an AHL roster, made the Penguins eat their socks. I guess they slam dunked us.
They slam dunked us. They scored a touchdown.
Yes, they did.
Give me a break.
Which I had a buddy over. He came over during the first intermission, and it was 1-0 at the time. And I was like, you know, this is a bad look. We gave up a shorty to Tom Wilson, which was not Jari's fault. It was just, did you see the goal?
No, I haven't been watching any Penguins hockey.
So he comes in, shoots it short side, glove side on Jari, hits the post, bounces back, and he hits it out of the air into the net.
So he batted in his own rebound? Off the post.
It was insane. A great goal. And it was a short-handed goal.
I hate how good Tom Wilson has gotten. He's like not just a vicious little punk anymore. Now he's actually kind of a good player. The heck?
So that was good. Ivan Miroshchenko got his first career goal after apparently he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a cancer survivor, which was cool to
see. No, it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, the same that Hodgkin's Lemieux lymphoma. Had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. He beat the cancer, which is awesome. Ed, kudos to him, but score your first career goal on another night, not against the Penguins when you're beating them 6-0. So that was cool. I think Tom Wilson scored again. Ovi got a power play goal. Tom Wilson didn't score. Yeah, Nick Jensen got his first of the season on the Penguins. And he's a defenseman who doesn't normally score goals, you know. So
Sonny Milano scored.
Yeah, which Clara and my buddy's wife were both like, oh, he's crusty looking fella.
Sonny Milano?
Yeah, they didn't like him. They said he was ugly.
Ovechkin only has 18. Is that 18 power play goals or 18 goals?
No, 18 goals. Ovi had a terrible start to the season. So
Ovi's kind of had a terrible season.
Yeah, but they started out by saying Backstrom's out. Oh, she's out. We don't have Kuznetsov anymore. There's like, we're playing with a completely weird roster. Kemper's out, so Lindgren got the start. And I was like, oh, this is not good for the Penguins. This is a team we should beat, and we're not going to.
Exactly. Especially against
Lindgren.
Lindgren. It's Charlie the goalies Lindgren. That always get us.
Okay, but I was talking, and I was like, the puck.
Like, we had 10 more shots.
I was watching it. The pucks were just not bouncing our way. Mm-hmm. The puck would bounce off our stick playing defense and right to the stick of the Capitals, where the Capitals would block our passes and they'd get it out of the zone. It was wild. It was ridiculous.
This is crazy. We kind of like outplayed them in pretty much every
aspect. Yes, we did. That's what I'm saying.
Except for the power play, which we went 0 for 4, which is not surprising. But like we got like 10 more shots than them.
Yeah.
We got twice as many hits as they did.
Yeah, exactly. Like
we were like even on faceoffs, like I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a penalty fest, and we don't play well on the man advantage, obviously, because we gave up another shorthanded goal. Period.
No, we don't. Yeah.
But
yep.
You know.
But the week was tough.
I want to say something. I just saw this when I was looking at which I thought I just want to make mention because I think it's funny. The Columbus box score here, on the Penguins app, it lists Jack Roslovic as John parentheses Jack Roslovic, in case anyone was wondering. And I mean, that goal that he scored,
I bet his middle name's Henry. Sorry.
It's probably true. That goal that he scored was assisted by Andrew Peak, which is just funny to me because now they're both gone. Anyway.
They're both gone.
Yeah. They're both gone.
So
we got to see them play in Columbus. Did you get to see them play in Columbus before?
No one wants to watch them play in Columbus. Probably not. Columbus. No. Sucks as a hockey team. We've talked about this, like a hockey city.
I'm not gonna. Oh my gosh, though, Andrew, tell them your sad news that you told me last night over text.
Oh, yeah. So if anyone knows us very well, which some of you guys listening probably do, Abby and I, huge Buffalo Wild Wings fans. Huge.
Huge.
And one thing we hate, both, loathe, actually.
Oh, loathe with all of our hearts. Ohio.
Like just the state of Ohio.
I don't, crusty, if you're from, as if all you're, get out. The if armpit you're from Ohio, I love you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The people are great most of the time.
It's the people are fine. But it's the aura, the vibe, the state and the sports teams. Oh, Cleveland.
Guardians, Browns.
Oh, the Guardians.
Cavaliers. I actually kind of, you know, I don't hate the Cavaliers. But
I don't follow basketball, so I don't care. But I don't know. I just have this. And I was, when I was texting Andrew, I just was like, I can't explain it. I just hate Ohio. And yeah. It's probably something to do with the Michigander in me, but also I think it's more than that. There's something deeper. I just can't put my finger on it.
But
I hate Ohio.
But anyway. And then on our way back, or I'm in Illinois again, visiting Claire's family. And we were driving and Google Maps popped up. Hey, Buffalo Wild Wings is on this exit. Like, they know I love Buffalo Wild Wings. It's wild. And I was like, oh, Buffalo Wild Wings. And Clara looked it up. And it was founded in Cleveland, Ohio.
Boo.
And so.
I'll never see a chicken wing the same way again.
Yeah. I'm going through a lot right now with Jake Gensel being traded and finding out Buffalo Wild Wings was
cheating on
Ohio.
Us.
Yeah. But you know what? We have Ford as Michigans and Michiganders. We have Ford. We have Red Wing shoes. We have Traverse City.
We have the Sioux
ice cream.
The Sioux City Greyhounds up there in the UP.
Also true. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We have Hockey Town.
Hmm.
You know, that's
true.
Called,
Craft
the Hockey Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Ohio. Well, they have LeBron. So
that's their only redeeming grace. I don't like LeBron. That's not even a saving grace for them. They've got Nasher. That's their saving grace.
They do have Nasher. They
also
have Nasher, yeah.
He for whatever reason he is so committed to Ohio and I admire that. I admire
not just
that.
Ohio but Columbus.
He just loves Columbus.
Which out of Columbus, Cincinnati, or Cleveland, Columbus is probably the best choice.
Yes, I don't disagree, but it smells like dog food.
It does do that, yes.
It literally just smells like dog food, which I don't understand. It's weird. And it's not, it's, just fix it. Just fix it.
Just
anyways,
fix it, guys. All right.
Sorry. So, if you're from Ohio, I really do love you as a person.
We have nothing against
Ohio.
Your state
is just, well, Ohioans. No, we don't have anything against Ohioans.
Unless you vote for Ohio State,
Ohio
then
state.
We can't be friends. But I can still love you, but I don't like you. So, all that to say, we have four games this week. One today on Saturday at 3 p.m. on ESPN Plus and ABC. It's the Boston Bruins. Oh my gosh, Pittsburgh and Boston. And it's like on the Disney Plus is like the green. The big
yeah,
green
it's like
there.
The one where they like do the cartoon things over top of it. Which is
I want to see them do a Toy Story one because they did it for the NFL. And if
that
they did it for
fun.
The NFL, they can do it for the NHL. So,
well,
anyway,
can they, though? It's a little different because the NHL moves so much faster. I was talking to a friend about this last night, and she said, she's like, I can follow football because you can always tell where the ball is. But, like, even with, like, basketball or with hockey, like, it's hard to follow because it moves so fast. And I'm like, that's fair. So, like,
it's
with
fair.
That kind of thing, the AI might not be able to move quite as fast. Yeah.
Well, we all know AI is stupid. Anyway, and then we have the Edmonton Oilers again Sunday at 1 on TNT and Max. I will be watching this game. Eastern Standard Time. They do EDT. What's EDT?
EDT?
Yeah, it's not Eastern Standard Time. It's EDT. I don't know what that's saying. Anyway, and then on Tuesday, we have the Senators in Ottawa. And then we have San Jose in Pittsburgh on Thursday. So, and then I'm in Pittsburgh for the Rangers game that next Saturday. So I will not be on the podcast. Actually, I might be on the podcast. I might try and get on and record with you guys.
Oh, EDT is the time zone used in summer and spring. It's EDT after spring ahead once daylight savings time is over.
Why?
So they change it during the spring and the summer.
Why do we need
Eastern,
that?
Eastern Daylight Time, EDT.
No
Eastern
one asked for
Standard
that.
Standard Time, EST.
No one asked for that. Can we just stick with the same thing? Why do we even have spring ahead and fall back? It's just like stay the same
I've
time.
Been discussing this with my coworkers extensively. It's really
stupid. Do they
stupid.
Not like it?
None of us like it.
Okay, well, at least you're not alone. Anyway, so out of those four games, Boston, Ottawa, Edmonton, and San Jose. I messed up Ottawa and Edmonton. But what's our win-loss record look like?
3 points.
3 points.
We'll probably end up beating like Edmonton or something.
Boston will end up beating Boston.
We'll lose in overtime to San Jose. That's probably. Just how it's going to go.
And as always, I'm going to say 6 points, 8 points, excuse me, because I believe in the Penguins. Like Ottawa and Edmonton, we can beat. Or Ottawa and San Jose.
San Jose, yeah.
We shouldn't beat Boston or Edmonton, but I have a feeling this deadline, we're going to kick it into another gear. But again, I would not be mad if we went 0-4 because that just improves our draft status, you know?
Yeah, like, just imagine if we got like
be so
a
good.
Top three pick. That would be insane.
Would be
like even
so
even
happy.
Not Celebrini, I don't care. But like Why a top three have, pick.
Yeah.
Top or even top five. Be,
well, top five. Do we we're have real, our own first?
We're real close to getting a top five.
Wait, do we have our own first though?
Because if we don't have
we,
our own if we don't have
did
our
we
own
trade
first,
it to, we don't have our own first.
It's probably top 10 protected though.
We don't have
usually
our own first.
Usually they are like top 10 protected, top 5 protected.
Usually. Oh, it is a top 10 protected. It is top 10 protected. Whew,
okay. That's
good.
What I thought I remember reading.
But San Jose currently has it, yeah.
So hopefully we're not like 11th. That would suck. Cuz then we're not going to get a pick until round 2 very near the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be terrible.
Would be big sad. Anyway, so that's the Penguins. But can I say something that's not about the Penguins?
Yeah, what do we want about the Stars?
I have one thing to say about the Stars, and then I was actually thinking about Anaheim last night, and I would like to say something about them too. So, Dallas, amazing team. Love them. They beat Anaheim last night, 6-2. I just want to make mention Chris Tanev scored his first score or goal as Dallas Star. Yep. It was the flukiest goal. It was a floater from the point. I think Pavelski fell down in front of the net and it just like went in. Like he got knocked down by someone. It was a very greasy goal, but Chris Tanev scored his first goal. So that's my Stars news. But I want to say something about Anaheim because I was thinking like, man, Anaheim made a couple moves this year. Like they traded away like Henrik and Carrick to Edmonton. They did a couple other things, like minor things, but they made some moves. I was thinking, would I be sad as like a committed Anaheim fan to see Henrik and Carrick go? And like, yes, because Henrik's been a part of that organization for a while. Not a long time, but a while. And so it's always sad to see guys like that go, but it's a different kind of sad compared to like a Penguin sad because Penguins don't have a lot of future to look forward to. But I was thinking like in Anaheim, they're in the next 3 to 5 years, they're going to be insane with they've got Carlson. They've got
if
Minchikov.
All goes according to plan. Yes.
They've got Carlson. They've got Minchikov. They've got, Zegras, they got Terry, they got McTavish. All they need now is this year to get themselves to either draft themselves or trade themselves for a good young goalie, and they're locked for the next.
It's true. You know what?
They're locked for a while. They've got a good,
you know what,
solid core.
Worked out really well for them. Is calling up Pittsburgh and being like, "What would we have to give up for Jari?"
Yes, but maybe
because the
that's
only
an
reason the Penguins are doing it
move.
Yeah, but as a Penguins fan, the only reason we're doing anything is because our goaltending has been so stellar.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want to see Jari go, but
no.
That would help us improve our draft status immensely.
That's
is
true.
Getting rid of Jari and
but
riding
if we're banking if we're Helberg banking and, on a draft to. Because like it depends on what we're trying to do next year. If we're trying to win a cup next year, then we're going to want to hold
obviously,
on to Jari.
obviously, I feel like this is just going to be a minor retool or a major retool on the offseason and try and come back with it. And then at the deadline next year, it's like, well, are we ending good? Probably not. Goodbye, Malkin. Have fun with another team. Goodbye, Tanger. Have fun with another team. Goodbye, Carlson. Have fun with another team. Crosby, you're here.
Sid wouldn't want to leave, I don't think.
No.
Unless he was super pissed with management.
Yeah. Although I feel like the management has been like talking to him this entire way, being like, hey, like, I feel like that's what's happening. Like,
yeah.
Obviously he wouldn't be like, yeah, trade Gensel, trade all these guys. But he'd be like, I understand. Like, this is, you know, but it came out that Malkin wants to stay in Pittsburgh. He doesn't want to leave.
That's good.
It came out like he said, even with the struggles, I kind of want to stay here. But he's 37. He could be retiring anytime.
That's true.
But
yeah.
So that's the week. It's deadline. Penguins are officially bottom tier teams in the NHL.
Yeah, which is sad. It's probably going to stay that way for a little while.
Yeah.
But I was reading some comments on, was it Instagram or Twitter? I was reading someone saying somewhere, and they were like, obviously, y'all are bandwagon fans because y'all would not have survived the late 90s and the early 2000s. Y'all would have died. And I was like, that's fair. Because
we're not necessarily bandwagoners, just not alive in the end of the 90s to
He was just talking about the comments, people. I'm not saying that I'm a bandwagoner because I'm
not.
Oh,
no, no. I know, but I'm like, some of these guys weren't alive for that. So
yeah. Yeah, some of them are just spoiled babies that have never known anything besides great Pittsburgh hockey.
Never known poverty. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the problem with a lot of Penguins or Pittsburgh fans in general. Like all of us our age, we've been gifted with Big Ben and Sidney Crosby for the majority of our lifetime. And now we're struggling both with Steelers and Penguins. And it's like, oh my gosh,
the world is ending.
Not every team's going to have a 20-year run. Like, well, I mean, both Penguins and Steelers did pretty much have 15-year runs of success, but you're not always going to have that. And sometimes, you know, you have down years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all that to say, we have a game to play. Abby, explain the game because you came up with it. So,
okay.
I mean, I guess it's not really a game. It's more of
it's like a rapid fire
exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just going to go back and forth through some trades from the deadline. Big trades, little trades, whichever trades we want. We're going to give it a letter grade. So I'll give Andrew a trade. He'll give it a letter grade. And then we'll flip it around. He'll give me a trade and I'll give it a letter grade. We can talk about
letter grades. Sorry. We didn't give the Penguins a letter grade for this week.
D minus F.
Yeah. D minus. Yeah. Okay. We're in agreement. D minus.
Yeah. That's good. Anyways, so it's like, what else are we going to give them? The worst week, I think, so far. You can't, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we lost Jake Gensel, so it's, you can't give him anything higher than a D.
Pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Yeah. I'll give you a zinger here. Here you go. Let's go to the Pacific where the Golden Knights acquired Tomas Hurdle, a third in 2025 and a third in 2027 for a first round pick this year and Dave or yeah, next, 2025 next year. Sorry.
Next year.
And David Enstrom.
Edstrom. Interesting. A letter grade. For the Knights, I'd say this is probably like an A.
Tomas Hurdle is also 17% retained. Sorry.
Right. Which isn't a ton, but that's just to make the money work. I think this is like an A minus probably for the Knights. I don't know how much more depth and forwards that they needed, but like you get a guy like Hurdle, all star. sorry, that made me laugh. I made myself laugh. I mean, obviously it's always a good trade when you can bolster your offense like that. I think Vegas really needs something and hopefully Hurdle work. So yeah, A minus for them. And I think a first rounder is always great for a team like the Sharks. They're just collecting picks at this point. They've got so many, it's crazy. And then David Edstrom, I'm assuming, is like a prospect. So
yeah.
Yeah, I would give them probably a B plus, A minus considering the market. They got a pretty good bag. So I mean, yeah, considering the market, like any other year, that would probably be like a B minus trade for a guy like Hurdle. But the market is just weird this year. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the Sharks had to give up those thirds though. Like,
yeah,
is Hurdle not worth maybe one? But yeah, is Hurdle not worth a first? And
but I mean, it's prospect? A 2027 third. Who knows what that's going to end up being?
Yeah, the Sharks are probably banking on, you know, by 2027 we're going to be
good. And they probably have like seven other people's third rounders, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, that's probably not even their third round pick that they gave.
Yeah, I doubt it.
So, yeah, anyway. Yeah. My turn to give you one. Let's see. Oh, I want to get your thoughts on this one. Okay, where's it at?
This is the Stars trade for...
Okay, this is another one that's involving the Sharks. So the Sharks send to your New Jersey Devils, Kaapo Kähkönen, and receive the one, the only Vitek Vanacek in a 2025 seventh.
Yeah.
Kähkönen is just barely better than Vanacek.
Apparently.
And you need to give him a seventh for him.
Yeah. So for the Devils, I'm going to give this a B. I feel like it's a... barely not lateral move. You know, like they're barely getting anything better than Vanacek, in my opinion.
I don't disagree.
And so it's a B. And then for the Sharks, what are you doing? Why? Like all for a seven?
And Vanacek.
Yeah, but Vanacek is literally like Walmart version Kuokkanen.
But maybe, I mean, the goalie market's really big right now. Like people are looking for goalies willy-nilly. So like if they think Vanacek might have some value come off season, they could get something for him. Not a ton.
Yeah,
but something.
Do you think he's better than Kaapo Kähkönen? Or however you say
it? I think Kaapo Kähkönen.
Kähkönen.
I think that's how you say it. I think Kaapo Kähkönen needed a different environment, but I think he's a very good goalie, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm not saying he's not. I mean, the numbers are not great.
He's going to be a backup, though, because the Devils also got Jake Allen from the Habs.
Okay. No.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I don't know what the Devils are doing. But Jake Allen, Kähkönen,
yeah, I don't understand.
Like, Allen Kähkönen could potentially, it's a lot to bank on, could potentially be an interesting tandem. I don't know.
I mean, it's an interesting tandem in the fact that it's...
But anything's better than Akira Schmidt and Vitek Vanacek. They've had terrible goaltending this year, the Devils have. That's been one of their biggest issues. So you might as well try and solve it. Go big or go home, baby.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I don't know why you don't call up the Flames and be like, hey, what can we get for... I mean, I'm sure they were
hammering the Flames. Are still in it. The Flames are still in it.
Yeah.
The Flames are vying for a wild card spot.
What about Grubauer from Seattle? Like, you got to call around.
Seattle's still in it, too. Seattle and Calgary.
Did they even try and call Pittsburgh about Jarry? I wonder if they did.
I bet Seattle did kind of sell the deadline though.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I'm saying. Like they got rid of Wenberg. Oh, and they re-signed Eberle, but still.
Which was weird to me personally. Like obviously I know it's like he's really important to the team as a player, not necessarily like the best player, but as like a person. But that just seemed weird that they lost Wenberg but kept Eberle, but I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think
that's a whole different thing. That's also fair.
But
I wouldn't want to say.
Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
Let's see. Let's go. I don't want to do another Golden Knights one. Okay. Matt Dumba and a seventh to the Lightning from the Coyotes for 2027 fifth. The seventh is in 2025.
That's insane. So
you
look at this trade and it's kind of funny because the Lightning got a 2025 seventh and the Yotes got a 2027 fifth. And then Matt Dumba went over to the Lightning, which is really weird. Like a seventh, the Yotes had to put in a seventh to make Matt Dumba worth it.
Yeah.
Like that's weird. But I mean, obviously it's a huge, huge trade for the Lightning because I think, well, the Lightning are older, but I don't honestly know if they have a chance. I mean, you always have a chance when you have Vasilevsky, but I think Dumba is a really great piece because he's a very durable, very, very defensive defenseman, and consistent. He's consistent, which is something that Tampa hasn't necessarily had this year. So I think it's a really good piece for the Lightning to get. But yeah, I mean, that return for the Yotes is crap. Like, dang, yeah. There was such a buyer's market this year. That's wild.
Yep.
So yep. Weird how that changes from year to year, like based on who's available and stuff, but and who needs what and who's even in it, because like so many teams are like selling this year too. Like, it's weird. And so many selling teams have players that are like expiring at the end of the year, which is also weird. But anyways, letter grade for the Lightning, I'd say would be, well, no, with what they got for what they lost, I would say this is an A. Because get that for good just answer. A fifth in like a fifth in 3 years. Like, that's 100% worth it, because that fifth in 3 years probably isn't going to be worth that much to you anyways. But yeah, for the Yotes, I'd say like a C plus.
Okay.
Maybe a B minus. I don't know. No, and, I mean, with the market too.
I'd say lower. Matt Dumba's, I would say probably C minus. Matt Dumba's just, you know.
He's solid, that's for sure. But he's been hopping around a lot the past year and a half. Like, I mean, I guess not a lot. He went from Minnesota to Arizona and now to.
Yeah.
Well, no.
I mean, it's a lot in a calendar year.
Yeah, that is true. Because Minnesota all the way south and then all the way back east to Florida. So anyway. Yeah. All right. My turn. Let's see. All right. From your New Jersey Devils as sellers this time, they acquired a third round pick and a third rounder this year and a second rounder next year from the Jets for Tyler Toffoli. The Devils retained 50% of that salary on Toffoli.
Devils 100% got an A. Because you look at what else is going around. And Toffoli probably got the biggest return outside of Gensel. Or Hanhifin, I guess. But like for Tyler Toffoli, who's a middle six winger, I don't know. I think the Devils got an A. And the Jets, I'd say it's a B+. Just because of what you gave up. And Toffoli, I believe, is a rental. So it's like...
Mm-hmm.
Do you resign Toffoli? Probably not. I'm going to be honest. And
no, probably
just
not.
Just because of, they got zero cap space this year. Maybe next year. How much do they have? Oh no, all their forwards are locked up and are, not all their forwards, but a lot of their forwards are locked up. Sean Monahan walks and Toffoli walks. Gustafson and Perfetti are both RFAs. And then on their defensive side, Dylan, DeMello, and Miller all walk.
Well, Miller, they just acquired from the Devils as well, which is weird that they were two different trades. Because the Devils got a 2026 fourth.
Yeah, the Devils were shopping Toffoli to the Kings hard.
Were they really?
Yeah, and then the Jets must have swooped in and been like, hey, we'll take him.
Did the Kings make any moves?
I don't think they did. They were very middle. No,
that's wild, actually. I bet Kings fans aren't really happy with that. I wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be happy with it either.
Because they
but also moves I mean, are dangerous because you could either get better or worse. Like you don't know how the
that's
guy's
true
gonna work when you bring him in.
That's true. And I guess where are they? They're not out of the woods.
The like, Kings, no.
No, they could drop, and they had could. A bad slump a couple months ago, or like last month, January, February. They had a really bad slump. They went on like a 9-game losing streak, 10-game losing streak. And so if that happens again, Calgary, Seattle, St. Louis could come in and steal that. Even Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's 2 games out, but they could come in and take that wild card spot. So that feels a little silly considering the way that the market was. They could have gotten something for not a lot.
Yeah, you could have.
But they just didn't. So, I mean, I guess I'm not going to question. The GMs are paid to do what they do, and I'm not a GM. But I am unpaid sitting to sit here and talk about all of the mistakes that the GMs make. And so that's what I'm doing. So
yes.
if If the Kings get bounced or they don't make the playoffs, you heard it here first. Which I highly doubt that that'll happen because the Kings
I don't think it'll happen either.
The Kings are a really good team, but
yeah. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you slow down. I'm trying to find a good one to give you. Okay, here you go. The Hurricanes acquire from the Capitals Evgeny Kuznetsov with 50% retained for a 2025 third round pick. Thoughts?
For the Capitals, A+. I don't care. Kuznetsov was mad. He did not want to be there.
Kuznetsov was toxic, bro. Like,
they just got rid of him. I think it's an A+ for the Capitals. Even if, like, even if the Capitals don't win another game, this trade is an A+ because Kuznetsov was not a, he didn't want to be there. So just get, I mean, send him away. You got a third round pick for him? Great. You could have just given him or taken future considerations and it would still be an A+ because Kuznetsov was not it for,
no,
for a while now. He's been angry with Washington. So, and for the Canes, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, interdivisional trades are always weird.
I don't like them.
I don't like them either. But I don't know. I'd say the Canes probably like a B+. Kuznetsov's a really good player. I don't know if there was really anyone else on the market they could have gotten for what, I mean, for what they lost. Like, it's a great trade, to be honest.
I mean, they could have thrown in a second and gotten Tyler Toffoli, but that's neither here nor there.
I guess that's true. But I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. I think they have a, I think they have a good chance, but also I don't know if Kuznetsov really fits the identity of the Canes. Yeah. Because Kuznetsov kind of seems like a showy type of guy. And the Canes are very much like a team-oriented team.
Yeah, Jake Gensel fits Kuznetsov.
Yeah, Kuznetsov, I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, A+ for the Caps. I'd say like a B+ around there for the Canes. Yeah, like teetering to an A-.
Yeah, 100%.
Alrighty, your turn. Let's see here. Okay, in the Pacific, we have your Vegas Golden Knights receiving from the Calgary Flames.
This is the one I wanted.
None other than the Noah Hanifin with 75% retained on that salary, which is huge. And the rights to Mikhail Vorboyov, who I'm assuming is just like a AHL player. Or a, yeah, anyway. And then the Flames receive a conditional first in 2025, a conditional third in 2025, and Daniel Miramanov. And then the Flyers were thrown in there to make the money work. They got a fifth. And yeah, I'm assuming they retained like
25%. Yeah.
Percent, and I then the Flames retained 50.
Yeah. Who's that 25, the fifth round pick from? Probably the Golden Knights.
Yeah, probably.
I would assume. All right. So for the Golden Knights, this is a B. I love Noah Hanifin, but I don't know if he's worth a first, a third, a fifth, and a prospect. But who knows? For the Flames, this is an A. I mean, you got a first and a third, a conditional. Not sure what the conditions are on those, but I would assume they have to make the playoffs and then win the cup. For it to not be a second and a fourth. But and then the Flyers, you know, you're not, you know, if you don't need that money, why not receive a fifth, right? Like,
yeah,
you obviously don't need the money because you can do it. So, and it will be up at the end of the year because Hanifin's a free agent at the end of the year. So, Flyers got an A, Golden Knights got a B, Flames got an A. I think this is a great trade all around. And obviously, the Flames didn't want to lose Hanifin. They're in a position a lot like the Penguins, where you don't want to lose this player for nothing because he won't re-sign with you. But also, you're still in a possible playoff position. So, but anyway, I like this trade for the everyone involved, really.
Okay, so the condition, apparently the first round pick is not conditional. The first round pick is just first round pick.
Okay.
The third that they got could turn into a second if they win the first round of the playoffs, which is pretty likely. If, well, yeah, I mean, they are in a wild card spot right now, but that could change. But yeah, so that third, the third rounder that Calgary got, if the Knights win the first round, will turn into a second, which is pretty good.
The third round pick will turn into a second if they win.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But that's not until next year, not this draft, but the next one. Okay. But anyways, and Miramanov's, yeah, just a prospect, but
yeah. All right. Anywho. Last round here.
Last
Abby.
Round.
Jason Zucker to the Predators from the Coyotes for a sixth round pick. I know you like your Zucker.
I do like Jason Zucker. I kind of miss him. He was kind of like that. He was that gritty guy.
He was Michael Bunting.
He was the Michael Bunting, but not as Michael Bunting as Michael Bunting. Which,
yeah, Michael Bunting is.
I'm really excited to actually see how Michael Bunting plays.
I hope Sully doesn't like shut down all his what makes him Michael Bunting, you know?
Well, I think that's why Dubas traded for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. who was the Ranger? Who was New York going to give us?
Yeah.
Who is anything like Michael Bunting? Because they're not going to give up a guy like Trocheck.
No, who's that guy? The
Rempe.
Big guy. Rempe, yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Rempe.
No, they're not giving up Rempe. But, I mean, I would be down.
Penguins.
Anyways, back to the Jason Zucker trade. For the Yotes, a sixth-round pick. I mean, I guess. I don't know what you're trying to do. Maybe clear cap for the free agency in the summer. I don't know what you're trying to do, but a sixth this year for Jason, I don't know. That's like a C, I guess, because Jason Zucker's a really good player. He's getting older, I guess, but I don't know. He fits the identity of Nashville perfectly. I think he will slot into that team very well, and bring a little bit more grit to their, I don't know. Their squad has always been known for being gritty. But this year seems a little bit,
right?
Yeah, it seems a little bit less so this year, but I think this will bring back a little bit of that like grit grindy identity in Nashville. Because Jason Zucker is really good, big fan. So I'd say this is like a, I mean, I'd say an A for the Preds because for what you gave up, Jason Zucker's a great player. So
agree.
A or A plus, to be perfectly honest with you. Okay, this one's just for kicks and giggles though. To the Columbus Blue Jackets, Malcolm Subban, and to the Blues, future considerations.
Yeah, shout out to the future considerations. Big,
and they mean so much to that Blue Jackets organization. It's sad to see him go.
I mean, his number will eventually be in the rafters.
Oh,
when
for sure.
The time comes.
For sure.
You know, just he was everything the Blue Jackets team, you know, identified with.
Mm-hmm. So it's true.
Always building for the future.
Okay. Do you want one more?
No.
Okay. I just want to go through a few honorable mentions. So Klim Kostin from the Red Wings to the Sharks, honorable mention. Troy Stetcher to the Oilers. Adam Henrik, Sam Carrick to the Oilers. We talked about that one. The Jake Gensel trade we already talked about. That's an honorable mention. Eric Johnson to the Flyers, along with Dallas Stars legend Dennis Gurionov to the Flyers.
Yeah.
Casey Mittelstadt to the Avalanche, Bo Byram to the Sabres. That one was pretty big. Vlad Tarasenko to the Panthers, Anthony Duclair to the Lightning, Ilya Lyubushkin to the Leafs, Joel Edmondson.
Are you just reading all of them off?
No, I'm just the big ones. Kyle Okposo to the Panthers.
That one was wild.
Bevilier to the Preds, Sean Walker to the Avs. Honestly, the Avs made a lot of moves.
The Avs,
which I'm not mad about.
Wild. Like, they were, yeah.
They did a lot. But, honestly, I think the most important one, Chad to the Rangers.
Yeah, that one, you know, Chad's the glue.
Chad is the glue. Our D is going to fall apart without Chad. Goodness.
I don't know. I like Ludvig getting shot.
I do like Ludvig. But,
so.
Chad is a legend.
Chad is a legend. Shout out. Where the heck is Chad? One more time. Pour it out.
Where the
Yeah. All right. So let's get into predictions, and then we will wrap up this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast, this mournful, mournful episode. Abby, go ahead and read off the – I'm trusting you to read off because you do it so well. So.
Oh, well, thanks. Okay. So last week we predicted 3 Pittsburgh games and then 2 not Pittsburgh games. So the first one was Pittsburgh at Calgary. Then Pittsburgh at Edmonton, which we kind of already talked about those games. Boston, yes, Toronto, we picked. Detroit at Colorado, and then Washington at Pittsburgh. So for the first Pittsburgh at Calgary game, we all said Pittsburgh would win. They didn't. So none of us got any points. But Pittsburgh at Edmonton, I was the only one that said Edmonton would win, so I got a point. But for the Boston-Toronto game, we all said Boston would win, but I actually got the correct score. So 3 points for me, Boston 4-1. Detroit at Colorado, we all said Colorado won. I said 6-3, but the final score was 7-2, so it was, I mean, that was close. And then the Washington at Pittsburgh game, I was the only one that said Washington would win, so I got a point there. After the week, I got, that would be 3, 4, 6 points, and then Andrew and Jim both got 2. So the final scores at the end of the week are me with 68, Jim with 63, and Andrew with 57.
Yikes. Not a great look for me at all.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. You had a heck of a week.
Yeah, it was a pretty good week.
For you. For the Penguins, no.
I think Austin being on the pod last week kind of disillusioned you and Dad a little bit. You're like, oh, yeah, we have someone else believes in our team, so let's say that they're going to win all these.
Yeah, bro, those, yeah.
Dad predicted Pittsburgh to win every single game. Oh, I guess you did too. So what the heck?
Thanks, Abby.
Why did you do that?
Thanks, Abby.
That is just a silly choice. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So the weeks. the weeks. What in the world? You've flustered me because you're being so mean.
I'm sorry.
But the games this week that we have to predict are on. Oh, we're predicting today's game: Pittsburgh at Boston. On Saturday, Sunday, Edmonton at Pittsburgh. We're predicting 4 Pittsburgh games this week. Tuesday, Pittsburgh at Ottawa. Then another Tuesday game, Florida at Dallas, game of the week. And then San Jose at Pittsburgh. So, Abby, since you are still winning, you get to predict first and foremost, and then Dad, and then Abby, or then me. I have Jim's picks because I pick last, so I can't, I would already hear his picks before picking.
Mm-hmm.
So. But you don't know what Jim's going to pick. So go ahead.
Okay. Pittsburgh at Boston. Yeah, it's not even a consideration. I'm going to say Boston 6-2. But I will say there were rumors that Allmark was going to get traded.
I know. I don't know who started those rumors.
Which
but
is
stupid.
Just absolutely insane. Imagine if that happened. That would be so sad. All right, what did Jim say?
Jim said Boston 7-1. He's officially done with the Penguins, I think.
Which is fair.
Disappointed
him one too many times.
Yeah, I'm also going to say Boston, but score 3-1.
A little more tame.
A little bit, yeah.
Which is fair. All right, next game, Edmonton at Pittsburgh. It's in our barn. Who am I kidding?
It is Edmonton.
Edmonton's going to win. If I predict, this has always been my philosophy. If I predict against the person that I want to win, then either way, I'll be happy. So I'm going to say Edmonton. I'm going to say 5-3.
Yeah. Jim has Edmonton 6-2.
Man, he's just over it.
He's done. He says, I'm sick of this.
What do you say?
I've got to give mine too. I've never done this. I've never given Jim's predictions and then mine. But I have Edmonton 4-1.
Nice. All right. Next up on the docket, yet another Pittsburgh game where we're all going to pick against Pittsburgh. Well, maybe not. Pittsburgh at Ottawa. Mm-hmm. I could say Ottawa, but they're in Ottawa, so that gives us an advantage because I feel like Pittsburgh has been, not historically, but this year specifically, has been playing better on the road. And that might just be a me thing, but it feels that way. So I am actually going to say Pittsburgh's going to win this game, and I'll say 3-2 in overtime.
All right. I'm going to say Pittsburgh, or Jim's going to say Pittsburgh 3-2 in overtime.
Really?
Yep.
That's funny.
And I'm going to say Pittsburgh by a high score of 5-2. Michael Bunting with a hat trick. Watch it.
Do it. I wouldn't even be mad. All right.
I'm not even mad.
Our one game that is not a Pittsburgh game this week. Florida.
Game of the week.
Classic. Florida. Excuse me. Florida at Dallas. I can't pick against the Dallas Stars, especially not when they're playing in their own barn. So I'm going to say Dallas 5-4 in overtime, because Jake Oettinger has been literal Swiss cheese lately. Just ask my fantasy team. It's not
all
right. Good.
So we're all picking overtime games. So you picked, what did you pick? 5-4?
Yeah.
Jim's picking Dallas 4-3 in overtime. And I'm picking Florida 3-2 in overtime.
That's funny. 3-2
in overtime. Okay. Sorry for voting against your Stars, but I just
that's
think
fine.
Florida's
at
a
least
little bit of a...
It's better to pick Florida against to win against my Stars than your Nashville Predators against my Stars. So
Whoa. They tied the season series, so you can just take that Predators and shove it where the sun don't shine. All right, last game.
San Jose at Pittsburgh. I'm going to say Pittsburgh, because you just can't. I mean, you could, because Dallas, the Sharks, in I think back-to-back games, I think it was like a home-and-home type of deal, the Sharks pushed Dallas to overtime in both games. So you could theoretically say that San Jose would win this game, but I'm going to say Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say 4-2.
Okay, Jim is also picking Pittsburgh, also 4-2.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and I also have the score 4-2, but I'm picking the Sharks.
Yikes. Did me and Dad pick every single team the same this week?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep. People are going to think you knew it, but she didn't.
I didn't. I promise. Jim would beat me up. Not actually, but verbally. He would beat me up and say, "You cheated." I didn't cheat. Anyway, what did you say? 4-2 San Jose?
Yeah, 4-2 San Jose.
Ridiculous. You think San Jose's
going to win?
Absolutely insane.
All right, give us a rundown.
Okay, so first game of the week today, Saturday, March 9th, Pittsburgh at Boston. I said Boston 6-2. Jim said Boston 7-1. Andrew said Boston 3-1. Next game on Sunday, another back-to-back game for Pittsburgh. Edmonton at Pittsburgh. We all said Edmonton. I said 5-3. Jim said 6-2. And Andrew said 4-1. Pittsburgh at Ottawa on, hang on, what's the date for that one? On Tuesday. We all said Pittsburgh. Jim and I both with a score of 3-2 in overtime, and Andrew with a score of 5-2. Florida at Dallas, also on Tuesday. Jim and Abby both said Dallas, both said overtime. Abby 5-4 in overtime. Jim 4-3 in overtime. Andrew, Florida 3-2 in overtime. And the last game of the week, San Jose at Pittsburgh. Jim and Abby both said Pittsburgh, both said 4-2. And Andrew said San Jose 4-2-2.
All right. So that has been this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. Thank you so much for listening to it. Next week, I will be in Pittsburgh. But
that's
hopefully
exciting.
We'll all be together once again. I'm very excited.
Is your game on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday at 3.
That is very exciting.
The Rangers. But,
the Rangers. I'm going to the Rangers.
In Pittsburgh, because now that I'm thinking about it, I was looking at it and I was like, "Oh, it's white, which means it's an away game." But I don't think it.
No, it's.
And now I'm
it's a home game.
Juicing myself up.
You see it?
Yeah, no, it's
Brock. It's a home
okay.
game.
We're good.
You're good. You would not have bought a ticket for a game that
was
also, in New York.
I could have seen. Yeah, I could have seen us doing that.
That
anyway,
would be your luck.
It would be. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. Make sure you follow the podcast where you can on Instagram, Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Make sure you check out the new website, with all the merch. And yeah, you can also go there and listen to the podcast. So that's pretty cool.
We might be making at some point a Jake Gensel tombstone sticker. So
yeah, because we have one for Zach Aston-Reese, fan of the show.
Because
and
because
really.
For whatever reason, when he left, it was like the most traumatic thing. I think I'm more upset about like I was more upset when Zach Aston-Reese got traded than Jake, because we were all anticipating Jake.
Yeah, we knew Jake was coming. Zach Aston-Reese just smacked me like a cinder block off the ceiling.
I was like, no, you can't.
Yeah, that was when we got Ricard Raquel. And what has Raquel done for us? Nothing. You know what Zach Aston-Reese did? Morale boost.
Honestly,
he was huge
for that third line.
He was the Chad.
Do you remember that third line? That was only together for like five games of him, McGinn, and Tanev, because either him or Tanev were injured
at
some point. Yeah, all of them.
That was a great third line.
That was a great third line if they would have stayed freaking healthy.
Third line.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because McGinn went with Zach Aston-Reese to, right?
McGinn, you know who McGinn was drafted by?
The Carolina Hurricanes. Who stole Jake Gensel right from out of our noses. Anyway, make sure you
anyways, we're escalating.
At DraftKings Sportsbook. And thank you guys again for listening. For Jim, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Abby.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's freaking go.
Boys.
Dude, I can't. I'm so sad.